Getting to the centers of habitation proved to be more than difficult. With the Hummer's independently suspended tires bouncing over lava rocks head size or better, and his partners, including the sorely injured Christy, bouncing around in the cab like badly stowed luggage, Ryan wondered if he would even be able to drive them off the Fire Mountain. It would have been vicious enough going in the dark, with nothing but the jagged terrain to cope with. The mountain was spewing. Away off to their left, fountains of fire arced red across the sky. A scarlet glow shone on the hood in front of him. He leaned forward, eyes straining up, trying to figure out where it came from. Suddenly, a fang of rock not 30 yards to their left seemed to explode in a yellow flash. The wagon rocked.
Etoi!
What the hell?
Impacts thunked off the Hummer's steel and Kevlar carapace like hail. JB, standing upright with his Uzi in lieu of the missing mount gun, ducked into the cab with a yelp as a handful of glowing yellow embers spattered across the hood.
Fire blast! What the fuck was that?
Bomb!
Since the Coldhearts had chased them off their idyllic mountain camp into the redoubt, Tanner had been totally lucid, showing no sign of the madness that sometimes overtook him. Somewhat to Ryan's surprise, he remained entirely calm in the face of whatever had just happened.
You're kidding, Doc. Somebody's attacking?
Only the gods in their wrath.
Doc rode in the backseat with Jack, who sat clutching one of his leaf-bladed throwing knives like a talisman in both hands. Mildred was in the aft cargo compartment tending to Christy, who lay on a mat laid on top of their baggage, such as it was.
That was a lava bomb. A bubble, if you will, of molten rock, filled with lethal gas. If one lands too close to us, we are undone, to say nothing of what should eventuate were one to strike us directly.
Dark night! Right, Ryan! Crank hard right!
Right!
The Hummer heeled over alarmingly as the wag turned sharply. The one-eyed man almost left his teeth in the steering wheel as the front bucked up. And then the engine was straining, whining in anguish as it struggled to push them over a boulder in their path. The wag climbed, almost stalled, then pitched forward. Ryan gritted his teeth as the wag's belly scraped over the sharp-toothed lava rock. But the rugged vehicle neither dropped its guts nor hung. It ground over the top and down.
Shit!
Ryan cranked his head around to see a yellow, glowing worm of lava force its way over a dam of rock and slop down in a shower of sparks, right where the wag had been before the armorer had shouted his warning.
Damn.
JB shoved his face back down the well of the blaster mount.
At least we've shown we can take the bastard best the mountain has to throw at us.
The Hummer rocked to an impact that sank it on its springs. Two curving white blades, spaced a handspan apart, suddenly protruded downward from the Kevlar roof.
By the three Kennedys!
A dark jet suddenly spewed from each curved blade. Jack and Doc flattened themselves against the doors. From almost directly overhead came the ripping roar of JB's Uzi. The curved blades were yanked out of the Hummer's roof.
Snake!
What?
I said it's a bastard rattlesnake! The biggest bastard snake I ever saw!
Ryan stuck his head out the window and craned his neck around. Silhouetted against a demonic sky, a head as wide across as Ryan's own shoulders reared up 10 or 12 feet above the Hummer on an impossibly thick body. Ryan wondered for an endless interval between one heartbeat and the next whether the creature was actually that huge or whether its size was an illusion produced by the glaring, ever-shifting light. The head split open into a vast, flame-yellow mouth. Its fangs, each as long as one of Ryan's arms, unfolded like the blades of a lockback knife. Ryan slammed the accelerator home. The head darted forward with dizzying speed, fangs thrusting ahead of it like spears.
Oh, fuck this!
The fangs suddenly stabbed down through the roof, one gleaming ivory scimitar missing her head by inches. Gathering the now semi-conscious Christy into her strong arms, Mildred rolled herself and the redhead to the side of the cargo compartment, away from the reeking, fuming venom that spurted in pulses from the fangs. Then she turned back to hammer at the nearest fang with the heel of her fist.
Get out of here, you dirty son of a bitch!
That is a truly fascinating adaptation. Clearly, the serpent soaks up ambient heat from the rocks, allowing it to move and hunt as freely at night as in the daytime.
That's great, Doc, but how do we kill the new blasted thing?
Despite the wag's wild bucking, JB popped back up through the vacant gun mouth with his Uzi. He emptied the magazine at the creature in 3 long ragged bursts as it coiled yet again to strike. Ryan saw a steep but relatively clear stretch of slope and sent the wag bucketing down it amid a baby avalanche of loose rubble. The impacts slammed his lower jaw into the upper and threatened to shake his joints apart.
We're getting away!
We better. I might as well be pissing at the bastard. I'm not sure any of my rounds even penetrated.
The monstrous snake launched itself, not in a strike, but slithering down the slope parallel to them, flowing sinuously over jagged, steaming black rock and gray boulders like a living avalanche. It caught up with him, lunged again, this time as if trying to bring its terrible mass crashing down on the wag.
Shit!
Ryan spun the wheel right. For a terrifying second, the vehicle slewed sideways in the scree, heeling way over toward the bottom of the slope, threatening to break away at any instant and go rolling down the smoky like a loose boulder, battering itself to pieces and churning its occupants to lumpy red puree. Then, the vast, cleated, run-flat tires bit and thrust the wag forward across the slope, no longer in danger of tipping over, but still not clear of the snake.
What?
From one window, Jack was cranking shots from his Python hand blaster. From the other, Doc was booming away with his venerable Lamaw. The pistol rounds, like the 9mm bullets fired by JB's Uzi, were almost certainly as futile as spitting at the rattlesnake. But Ryan had to grin approval of his comrade's fighting spirit. The thing was right after them, writhing with incredible speed. On a flat, on anything like a decent surface, the Hummer would have left the horror in its dust. On this evil broken slope, the snake had every advantage.
I can't even slow the bastard, Ryan. Don't know if even your Steyr could hurt it.
Nor, it seems, can we outrun it. Had we Hermes' wings to speed our heels.
Then, like Trader used to say, when all else fails, cheat.
I thought that was Samantha the Panther.
Whoever.
Ryan spun the wheel left.
Watch out!
The wag bounced right and cut across the giant snake's path. The Rattler, surprised by its prey, apparently turning on it, reared up. It struck. Anticipating the attack, Ryan had cranked the wheel and taken off at a tangent. The Hummer still rocked as the monster's head glanced off the wag's rear bumper. Ryan was hammering the wag right across the mountainside, back toward the spewing vent back, upward toward the river of living fire that had almost trapped them before.
Ryan! Lava!
Lava was running down the mountain at them in a glowing flood, red and fast as water.
God damn it!
Ryan was racing to meet the stream. It spurted out over a shelf of rock as if reaching out for the puny, skittering thing. The snake raced after them, blunt nose almost prodding their tailgate. The fires of hell danced in its slit-pupiled eyes. The liquid rock stream splashed down behind a boulder in a shower of glowing gobbets.
Ah! Shit! My cheek!
Another stream burned right through the roof and struck, hissing by Ryan's boot, as the Hummer jounced across the lava stream's path with the Rattler in mad pursuit.
Ah! Fire blast!
A vast, fiery wave of lava broke over the boulder and thundered down onto the snake. The monster reared back.
Oh, shut the hell up!
A huge cloud of steam bellowed out as the molten rock flash-boiled the snake's body fluids. A terrible stench, like burning hair, magnified a millionfold, enveloped the wag.
Oh, dark knife!
The Rattler's head reared out of the lava. The molten rock fell away from it in burning rivulets. For a terrifying moment, it seemed as if the monster would continue its hellhound pursuit, shedding the lava like a duck's wing shedding water. Then, it collapsed, to sink steaming and reeking into the already crusting lava pool. The wag sat creaking and popping as it cooled off in the long grass beside a stream. Ryan squatted on a roof blistered and discolored by embers, hot gases, and blobs of lava, and torn in several places by the giant snake's fangs. Ryan cradled his Steyr across his lean muscled thighs. Between thumb and forefinger of his right hand, he absently rolled the stem of a blue-white wildflower he'd picked before climbing to the top of the Hummer. Patches of them and differently hued blossoms dotted the fertile zone they were in now, like pigment spills. He was keeping watch while his comrades cleaned themselves and the wag. Mildred had insisted on the cleanup, and she wasn't just being pre-dark fastidious.
We need to clear out every last trace of that venom. Even assuming its potency and characteristics are those of normal rattlesnake poison and don't carry any kind of nasty mutie kicker, if any of it gets into an open wound, even a scratch, you'll be in a world of hurt. Rattler venom's primarily a hematotoxin. It makes your red blood cells explode, and we're fresh out of antivenin.
So they were taking a pause down in the surprisingly green and fertile valley that stretched away north from the mountain into whose bowels they had jumped, and a similar volcanic peak a few miles away that didn't seem to be erupting as enthusiastically. They still seemed to be a good 20 miles from the wide lake. In the bright sunlight, they could make out the shapes of skyscrapers rising from the middle of it. JB tucked his mini-sextant into his kit and glanced at his old map.
Latitude's right for Mexland. Right about Mex City, truth to tell.
I could have told you that.
Mildred was redressing Christy's shoulder. The giant rattler's venom had splashed her bandages. Thinking fast, Mildred had clawed them away before the poison could come into contact with Christy's wounds.
Yeah, 10.
Yeah. Good thing we've been up in the mountains getting acclimated for a few days. This whole valley's pretty high. Don't remember just how high that is exactly. I came down here for vacation once a couple years before the balloon went up. I recognize those mountains. Big one we popped out of is Popocatepetl. The shorter one is Iztaccíhuatl.
What's that mean?
How should I know? I can't even spell them. I don't even know why it looks as if the ruins of Mexico City are out in the middle of a great big lake.
They were lovers.
Doc was wringing out his shirt. His thin, shrunken chest was fish belly pale. In comparison, his hands and face looked deeply tanned.
Say what? You're not losing your grip again, are you, Doc?
She was the Emperor's daughter, a most beauteous maid. He was a mighty young warrior. They fell in love. Her father disapproved. He sent the young man off to war, then told his daughter he had fallen in battle, whereupon the girl expired from grief. Then the warrior returned home to find his beloved dead, and he died of grief as well. The gods, taking pity on them, transformed them into the mountains we have just quit. Iztaccíhuatl means sleeping woman. Popocatépetl is smoking mountain.
Jack was squatting by the stream, ignoring the fact his feet were sunk in cold muck. He turned his ruby gaze over his shoulder on Doc.
Gods turn the mountains? What could that do?
The way of gods, the theologians assure us, are not the ways of men. Though, in sooth, the gods and goddesses of most of the globe's mythologies seem to manifest a decidedly puckish sense of humor.
Ryan checked the rat counter clipped to his coat for maybe the dozenth time.
Anybody getting any kind of a reading?
Nope. Background's maybe a little high, and that's it.
So no nukes went off in the vicinity. Something did some damage.
No kidding. In my day, this was the most populous city on Earth. We should be in the suburbs now. Something didn't just damage them. It made them disappear.
Maybe the Smokies, eh, Ryan?
I don't know.
JB had begun to load the few supplies they'd managed to scavenge from the Popocatépetl Redoubt back into the wag. He noticed that Jack was staring out across the little stream again, seemingly morose.
What's eating your innards, Jack?
Snake.
You're thinking about that bastard snake?
Big. Caught. Eat like king.
As if to emphasize his words, he suddenly lunged into the stream. He grabbed, then he straightened, holding a squirming leopard frog. He bit off the head, spat it into the weeds, then began to eat the still-kicking amphibian.
Ugh, I hate it when he does stuff like that. Like he's feral or something.
Ryan gave a last look around. Their immediate surroundings were broken enough, with jagged ridges and obvious cooled lava flows, that any ill-intentioned strangers could work their way to well within long blaster range of the party, and he'd never see them. He tossed away the flower and jumped to the ground. The soil was black, rich, and springy beneath the soles of his boots.
Mildred, how's Christy?
Pretty much out of it. The infection's taking hold, and she's obviously weakened some since we got away from the eruption. With all that raw earth energy exploding all over the damn landscape.
Oh.
Don't worry. It's not as bad as it sounds. I think it's a good sign she's out. Her body is fighting to repel the infection and start healing. Her mind is shut down so she can concentrate her resources on the task at hand. At this point, other than trying to avoid any more exciting encounters with the local wildlife, which was something else I didn't see when I was down here as a tourista, it's most important to make sure she wakes up regularly to eat. Keep her strength up. Speaking of which, I'm not so concerned about the food thing as I was, for any of us. There's some real fertile-looking land out here, interspersed with all the lava flows and ash falls. So I don't think we'll have to settle for feeding a raw frog. But since it looks as if there's likely to be better on tap, it's probably not too soon to start looking out for it.
I think there's a vill a couple miles ahead. We'll make for that.